Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Welcome, everybody. Welcome. Today we're going to do things a little bit differently. We're going to lead off today with DJ Dome Records. Welcome to the stage segment. And today we will be talking again about our continuous discussions about this highly profiled George Zimmerman case. As you all know, things are heating up in there, and you know things are becoming more enraging. And we are going to get started again, like I said. Today we're going to lead off with the music segment. We'll be back here right after the music segment to start our discussion. Before we get started, please allow me to shout out our affiliates, Mr. Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 KISS FM. He is now with iSoulRadio.com, and he is the CEO of Track One Entertainment, which is our show's official consultant. Also, we have Simply Sensational, Inc. with Marcia Morgan and Stephanie Amantillit. They're the guys that's responsible for them great events that take place in New York. Once again, very proud to have them on our team. I want to shout out all of the people who were starting the Facebook boycotting regarding that awful, controversial, very disrespectful page, dishonoring the death and the incident that took place and took Trayvon Martin's life. So as I said, guys, I'm going to start you off with having about half an hour of some music to get you at least get our heads out of this hard trial, and then we'll get right back to it right after it's over. So without further ado, the next voice you're going to hear will be that of DJ Dome Record, Rodney Williams. Thanks, guys, for hanging out.
Happy Monday, folks. This is DJ Dome Record. That's DomeWrecka. And welcome to the stage, which is a segment of On the Edge with Katie Barnett and friends. You listen to me every Monday and Thursday right here. And I think what we're going to do today is do another Sessions and Sound type show, play a few tracks that I'm feeling right about now, and you know, I think we're just going to go ahead and launch right in. First track I'm going to play, start off with, is Cherish the Day. This is a remake of the Sade classic performed by the Robert Glasper Experiment featuring the wonderful, wonderful Layla Hathaway. Let's go.
Cherish the day, won't go astray, won't be afraid, won't catch me running, you're moving the way that I move, and I'll breathe your air.
I'd like to take this time out just to say that I'm one of the few men in this world who appreciate the good lady today. You see, I consider myself a very lucky fellow to have a lady like I got. So sweet, so mellow, so full of love that I can't get enough of you.
Indeed. This is... Oh. This is Welcome to the Stage. Once again, my name is DJ Domewrecker. And that was a really great combination of music that I wanted to go ahead and put out there. It's a little bit of a lazy Monday today, so I wanted to play some things that were a little bit on the relaxed tip. I'm sounding a little bit on the relaxed tip. And let's go ahead and run through the playlist. We started off again with a remake of Sade's hit Cherish the Day, performed by the Robert Glasper Experiment featuring Layla Hathaway. Something About You by Carl Thomas featuring vocals from Brandy. Had a great acid jazz instrumental from the Brand New Heavies called Mr. Tanaka. DJ Sat One did a Golden Age remix of You're Making Me High by the beautiful Toni Braxton. And we finished things off with the 1979 soul classic Mellow Metal, Mellow Mellow Right On by Laurel. One hit wonder, but an amazing track. So, you guys want to get in contact with me, soundworksmediainc@gmail.com if you want to check my mixes. Mixcloud.com/DOMEWRECKA. That's how you spell my name. I am DJ Domewrecker. I'd like to thank you guys very much for tuning in to Welcome to the Stage. And I will see you on Thursday. Take care. Peace.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Hi, welcome back everybody to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. That was our amazing DJ Domewrecker. He's our co-host and teammate on the, here on this panel. Well, we're about to get right into tonight's topic, and I see that the panelist list is already lighting up on the call line, so let me get started. We have all been watching this trial. We have seen the blatant, as I've been saying all week, saturation of racism that's going through this entire proceeding. And as it stands right now, we are just, we're enraged. I mean, most of us are. We've touched on quite a few different angles this week about this trial, mainly to my team listeners that are out there. Once again, I am going to reiterate that we do not, absolutely do not, condone any type of riot, inciting any riots, or encouraging you to go out there and retaliate by starting anything that makes you, you know, in the eyes of other ignorant people, be as ignorant as they are. So understand that riots do not cause any solutions to happen. It's going to do nothing but get people hurt or in jail, and we wouldn't want to see any of you have your lives taken away for that. Now, for those of you that have not been on Facebook today, be it for work or whatever reason, for the last couple of days, there's been an amazing woman out there named Sherry that's been out there trying to make a stand in a way that matters by trying to defuse or get Facebook to disengage a very disrespectful, hate-filled page called Rest in Peace Trey Boone. Okay, so a little too close to some of the racist names we have heard from the slavery days. So just to let you know, this page was designed to do absolutely nothing but disrespect the whole incident and the death of this poor young man. And we pretty much are being paraded around, or, you know, there's been a call it the little carrot on a stick type of situation where we're seeing pretty much the most blatant evidence in favor of the prosecution. However, for whatever reasons, ignorance, power trips, whatever's going on out there, this blatant killer is out there having his rights defended and stretched to the max. So pretty much we know it's crap. We know that all the evidence is showing every inconsistency conceivable to man between this defendant statement. No one can verify that he ever was disoriented or dizzy. There are things that's just going on, and we can see it. So, you know, for those of us that believe in God, let's just pray that for once in this horrible society that some justice will be carried out. So, without further ado, I'm going to bring in our first panelist. Just bear with me a minute as technology starts to set itself. We are having some severe weather in this area, so if there's a little bit of a delay, please bear with us. It has nothing to do with anything here. It's just that, you know, whatever keeps us going is being affected by the weather. So just a moment as I bring our first panelist in. Welcome to the On the Edge show. Call, are you on the air?
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Yes, this is Sherry.
Hi, it's Sherry. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, and how about yourself?
I'm doing okay. Well, while we're on the air, let me be the first one to say thank you, because you were the one who, I believe, found this. And if you weren't the first one to find it, you definitely were the first one to stand up and start a voice. And I've witnessed you. You know, we've all been through the people that have come in, and you know, tried to make this ignorance just spread like venom. So I want to tell you how much we appreciate what you're doing. And for all intents and purposes, as long as I'm breathing, I'll be one of your staunch supporters.
So thank you so much for that.
Keep it going, because you know what? We do have to start making a stand for ourselves and letting these people understand that no matter how many licks that it takes, we're going to take them and we're going to try to make a difference. So tonight's angle, and there is another panelist that I will be bringing in a few seconds. Tonight's angle, what I want to speak about is exactly what we've been witnessing, how this trial has brought up a lot of very, I don't know, insensitive and severe racism and anger with people, but we're trying to keep it to a point where we don't commit what I call society suicide, where, you know, suddenly we don't remember that we're human beings and everybody is a target. There's a blanket area if you're one of them or you're one of us, that type of mentality. And you've been one of the people that's been trying to make a difference by doing it the right way. We stand up for ourselves and we make a voice, you know, we make a protest. So let's get your thoughts on the situation. How are you feeling about this right now?
Well, that tape is really disturbing. And someone sent me a link. I can't think of who it was right now. But when I seen it, it shook me to my core. Those are pictures of his dead body. If you notice, if you look in all the pictures, his position doesn't change. And that is so disrespectful, and it's so hurtful, and it's really racist. And the post that they were putting with it caused me to report the page to Facebook. And when I did that, and the response that I got, that it was not a violation of their community standards, I didn't understand that, because we are community, and I am violated. So,
oh, I am too. I'm with you on that. And, you know, I was starting to believe that there's not even a real person behind the reporting community, because if you look down your list of the responses that, you know, other people said they received, at first they said they removed the page because it did violate standards or it did incite hate. And then after that, other people were getting that, thank you for your report, and, you know, we appreciate, you know, your concerns. However, then we started getting the, it doesn't violate the policies. So either, as you had said in one of your statements, which I found to be, you know, totally amazing, was that if it's not violating the standards, then maybe Facebook needs to raise their standards. Because I believe that the creator of the site did it so that people can actually reunite with people. It's supposed to be a social gathering place, you know, not supposed to take over your life, which on another subject, you know, Facebook has. People have taken Facebook to levels that, you know, some 50-something-year-olds have been acting like 12-year-olds, you know, and it's been like crazy. You know, you can choose how you present yourself in a public forum such as this one. And if you choose to incite hate, then you're no better than what we fight for. We fight against every day. So you standing up and being enraged enough to make that move was wonderful. So I did see the pictures. They were absolutely depicting nothing but disrespect. And I get enraged because I've been watching the trial, as many of us has, and I'm watching Trayvon Martin's parents having to listen to at least a gazillion 911 calls where this guy that took their baby's life is looking as dismissive as if he's just a bear doing his natural predating. And why all the hoopla? Meanwhile, they're sitting there listening to their son scream on a 911 call, and they have to listen to that gunshot that took his life 1,000,006 times.
Yeah.
While whatever ignorant people are out there trying to stretch this man's rights.
This is true.
And you were saying
why I started this boycott. I know that Facebook has millions. But they got to those numbers for one sign up at a time. Person told another person that told another person. And if Facebook can get those numbers to millions of people, then we should be able to get numbers of enough people to make Facebook stand up and notice that we tolerate that, because we made you. By every person that looked on and signed up for a page, we made you. We got you noticed. So why won't you recognize and notice us and the problems that's going on in your page?
Absolutely. And if more people thought like you, we probably wouldn't be sitting in this position speaking on this topic today. And that's the one thing. Your next caller on the line, I see you. I'll be bringing you in a few seconds. I do want to say, Sherry, once again, that I'm a mom. I'm actually biracial. And it's like I know the discrimination that comes, with people not understanding a difference. And pretty much I call prejudice an illness and a disease because it is. And it's a dangerous one because as much as, somebody just making an ignorant comment might seem harmless, it's those people that take those ignorant comments to heart and start to do other things. So, yes, seeing, it's one thing if you want to have freedom of speech, as that heckler on your page had said. It's not about freedom of speech. Freedom of speech, I think, wasn't designed just to be able to say whatever you want to say. But this is more than that. This is disrespecting a 17-year-old boy's life, or now lack thereof. This is the way that they were depicting a race in general, where they were having eights in an evolution stand and putting us next to it. Then they started adding pictures of Obama in a derogatory manner. So how is it just about you, expressing your views? There's a way to express your views and have an opinion without you having to pretty much, dump on another individual or another race for that matter. So just hang on a minute so that I can have this other panelist join in and cross-reference, okay? Give me a sec.
Okay.
Hi, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to the On the Edge show.
Hi, this is Minetta Vickers, and I've been following Sherry Adams and you, Katie Barnett. I've been checking you out on Facebook, and I just wanted to say thank you, Sherry, for spearheading this project, this boycott. I've been trying my best to get my friends and family members to join in, and it's really hard, but I hope that we can do something about this, because it's horrible. It's just horrible. I can't even, it's been angering me all day long.
Absolutely.
And,
I can understand that.
Yeah, I'm just angry, and I have contacted them over and over again with no resolve. So I just wanted to say thank you to Sherry and thank you, Katie.
Well,
absolutely. Thank you.
Please hang on the line with us, Minetta, okay? Because we're going to be speaking about this until the show goes off the air, so... It is absolutely deplorable. And the thing is, we already have to endure this joke of a defense that's going on. And then to top it off, I don't know if everyone's aware, But it came to my attention through a friend of mine on Facebook that watches the news. Like, he's on top of everything from sports to current events. And one of the things that he brought up, and funny, I kept asking this question today. No one knew the answer because apparently it was never presented. But on Friday, right after the trial was over, the older, bald-headed defense lawyer, I believe his name is Don West, his daughter took a picture of him, and I guess the mom,
yeah,
eating ice cream.
Yeah.
And she did was she hashtagged it as, you know, this is our we beat the stupidity cones, right? And so what happened was, they were referring to Rachel Gentile, the teenager that they had badgered to death, you know, that was talking about what she heard in Trayvon's last moments. Now, the most that this man did was say that his daughter, the one that posted this nonsense, okay, was mortified. So my question is, well, sir, is she mortified because of her actions or because of the fact that she got busted in it? Because that's where the difference in how she's being molded comes in. Is she being upset because she got caught and it was such a big why thing, or is she mortified because it's your career that this could make a dent in? But the problem is that come to the, and don't quote me because I kind of came in when the trial was already in progress this morning, but I didn't hear anybody mention how that picture was addressed. And as I said Friday, when they said, oh, she's mortified and her Instagram account has been deactivated, big whoop. You rang the bell, lady.
Yeah, and I heard her.
You rang the damn bell.
So upset.
How dare you? How dare you let this young lady grow up believing, if you're such a defender of the rights of people, how dare you let this little brat, because that's exactly what she is, okay, come on to a public forum and speak about another human being that way?
Yeah.
In such a sensitive
case. That picture that was shown, that was shown with them eating ice cream today, that picture has Trayvon Martin's head on it.
Yep, image of his face where the ice cream was on the cone.
Yes. It's his face.
It sure was.
And they don't think that's violating anything. And I don't understand that. I really don't.
No,
does anybody know what the community standards are? Is there
you're not supposed to incite hate, race, racial issues. You're not supposed to incite pornography. I do know that. You're not allowed to be on Facebook soliciting minors or soliciting people. You know, not like that works, because I don't know how many times I've had to put out a big, long status cursing out people that has been, and I don't mean cursing them literally, but having to let them know that, you know, you don't go into people's inboxes. I had one that was looking at my family photos on my personal page, and the way it started out was this. And both times, these are people that are not even on my Facebook list. You know, they're not even in my list of friends. And I've got, you know, by way of friends, I have about 700 or so people on my personal page. So I didn't even, I'm very selective about who I accept friend requests from. So to have this person tell me, it starts off like this, you know, I just wanted to let you know that I'm very moved by your Christianity and your spirituality. And, you know, I want to let you know that, you know, I've been watching, you know, I follow what you do, and you're very inspirational. And the things that you're doing, you're reaching out to the community, which is what my mission is. And so to top it off, it ends off with this. You're very sexy. And by the way, one of them, that's what blew me off, was, and by the way, your younger daughter is repeating her mother's DNA beauty footsteps. What? Seriously, dude?
Oh, my goodness. Really?
My daughter was 13 in the picture. She was 13 years old at the time. So you're sitting there telling me that I'm inspirational, I'm a Christian, I'm you know, touching your spirituality, when you really are trying to say that what you really want to do is see if you can get my number?
That's sad.
And then you want to tell me that my minor daughter is somebody that makes you feel, you know, wonderful? And by the way, to all of you people out there that are, you know, in favor of this nonsense, the person who wrote me was not a black person. Okay, was not a black person. So just in case any of those ignorant people that are out there trying to promote this venom is believing, you see, it's one of them, they're doing that. No, it was not. And Facebook, which might be a great subject today, if Facebook is so full of community standards, as you said, Sherry, they need to raise their darn standards, period. They need to raise their standards, because if this type of garbage could get through and be okay and acceptable and it falls under freedom of speech, but yet at the same token, you've got the catch-22 part of it that says you're not supposed to, you know, offend others. If enough people are writing that it offends others, what's the problem? Are we too black for you? Because that's what it appears to be. If this
Sherry,
had been
are
a
there
hip-hop
any more,
page,
are there any more pages? Excuse me. Are there any more pages out there other than the he didn't do nothing or whatever it's called?
Sherry, that question
Hello?
Was to you, honey. Sherry, I think she dropped there. She'll call back in.
Oh,
no, it's not her. We're having some weather issues, so the towers that connect to all are kind of being affected.
Yeah, I was wondering if that was the only page that's open now, because
no,
I know
actually,
they closed one page.
That was the Rest in Peace Trey Boone. That's the one
right.
she first began with. But from
right.
what I'm understanding, she said there are other pages. And see, this is what they do, and I believe that, I don't know, your name is Minetta, right?
Right, Minetta, uh-huh. Bickers.
Okay. Minetta, I'm not sure how long you've been following Sherry's page, but
it's been like 2 or 3 days.
Okay, so then you may have been around when the heckler was there, and we don't believe that the profile we saw is who this person is. It's
that
the terminology.
Guy that was, yeah. I saw that. What was his name? Somebody?
No, it was Mike Makowski. That's the name
Mike.
He used anyway.
Mike. Yep.
Yeah.
I believe that was a fake page. I really do.
Well, yeah,
and
I believe
was
the profile
out
was
a lot
completely
of,
the opposite.
It was a lot of racism and stuff coming out of his comments.
Not
I
just racism,
like, wow.
Just pure hatred.
Hatred.
Pure hatred.
Yeah, just ignorance, everything.
Right, which is something I keep trying on the show to promote against, as hard as it is. And, like, callers, I see you on the line. You will be joining us in just a minute. What I noticed was that in the same breath that he was spitting the venom, he was trying to act like he was an advocate for just, it was simply about free speech.
Right.
Simply about free speech, and that, you know, we're the ones promoting hate. Yet, and since I don't have any censorship issues on here, he was calling supposedly his own people stupid niggers.
Right. I saw that.
Okay, so... It's absolutely horrid. Okay, Minetta, hang on with me, sweetheart, while I bring in our next panelist, okay?
Okay.
Hi, caller, you're on the air. Welcome to the On the Edge show.
Hey,
hello.
Hey, Katie.
Hi,
hello.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Tanner Crawford. How you doing, Katie? How you doing, panel?
How you doing, sweetheart? Hang on, let me bring in my other panelist, okay? Hold on.
Okay.
Hi, welcome to the On the Edge show. You're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to say one thing about this Facebook and the fake pages and things of that nature.
Okay, who am I speaking with? One second, who am I speaking with?
This is Terrence Thompson.
Okay, Terrence, hold on. I was calling into the caller after. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Okay. Yes, hello?
This is Sherry. I think I got disconnected.
Okay,
yeah,
all right, Sherry, hold on. All right, yes, we are. You're back. All right, there's another caller, Mr. Terrence Thompson. Terrence, meet Sherry Adams and meet Minetta, okay? And ladies, that's Terrence.
Hello, Terrence.
Hi, Terrence.
Okay, Terrence, you were saying, dear?
Yeah, I was saying about the Facebook page. First, we got to understand where we live and where we come from. Now, we all know as black folks that racism still exists. No matter what the Supreme Court says about the voting rights, that we don't need it anymore, we all know hidden racism exists. And we all point to things just like the Trayvon Martin case. Well, if he were white, would this be going on? We can always say that about things. So we all understand where we come from. We're living in this racist paradigm, so, you know, boycotting is cool, I love it. get people together and we get things accomplished.
Yes. I'm going to... Terrence, honey,
yes.
I'm going to need you to come a little bit closer to your mouthpiece because you got a little bit of an echo and you're sounding a little far away, but we did hear what you said, okay? Just bring
okay.
in, just come in a little bit. Okay, you're absolutely right. Now, ladies, what I don't know if you heard him, but what he said was we got to know where we come from and that racism still exists. Now, we got that part. See, the part that I'm trying to advocate for here is that, well, A, Sherry, what you're doing definitely helps to circumvent what we can't control. We can't control what other people feel. We can't control the ignorance that comes out of people's mouth because unless we're God, we can't predict what they're going to say out their mouth from minute to minute. But we can only react to what happens. The thing that I'm saying here is we have to deal with this fact because, I mean, anybody that's got eyes and a brain can see that the evidence in this case is completely against George Zimmerman, but at the same time, we also know that they're going to do everything they can to make an explanation as to why something that's so blatantly in favor of Trayvon is going to have an escape route for Judge George Zimmerman. Okay, we all know that no matter which way this verdict goes, something's going to come from it, which is why I've been saying 1,000,007 times that writing is not going to do a thing for us. It didn't do it for Rodney King. It certainly didn't do it, you know, for anybody afterwards. As a matter of fact, Rodney King got upset with it. You know, so the thing is that we are, as I say 1,000,006 times, we are a race that are resilient. We are persistent. We have unification powers beyond belief. But, however, we never use the unification to keep from being divided and conquered, and that's the problem.
I can understand that. But it's
yes.
Like these pages, you have your freedom of speech, but you do not have the
indeed.
Right to incite violence. And everyone knows that there is a possibility that George Zimmerman is going to walk. And these pages
right.
are more or less adding to fuel to that fire. By
absolutely.
Looking at that, when I seen it, I just wanted to choke something or somebody. And I really did. It reminded me of when we watched Root. When you first seen Root around and everything. This is what it was, especially when I seen the one of his body post-mortem hanging in that tree. And that to me is it's almost guaranteeing that if the trial don't do it, they're trying to help it out. So
exactly.
Why not
well,
stop all that? Just stop all that. You can take it down. It's your page. It's your site. And if you want us to just feel, as it says, welcomed and safe, then why don't you do something about it? It's all
absolutely.
Safe.
The first,
and
like,
for Mark,
like I was saying,
for Mark, go ahead, Terrence.
Yes, like I was trying to say earlier, we got to understand what we're dealing with. Now, Mark Zuckerberg, the one who owned Facebook, he lied to us and said that Obama wasn't spying in his servers. He came online. Then he lied again when over 600,000 people. Friends of people, not the people they were targeting, but their friends. They got their numbers and all of their info, and I don't know where it went, but he lied about that too. So you got to understand what we're dealing with. We have to protest. We have to say something. I'm totally with you. But I feel like Terry, I feel like Katie, like we can't advocate riots. It won't work. It works again.
And that,
if you remember Rodney King, we tore up South Central and we tore up Watts. As soon as we tried to cross the track, they had the National Guard there. So we didn't do nothing but effectively tear our own neighborhood up. What we need to do is put that energy into marching on the Capitol and getting this law repealed off the books. Now, we can
absolutely.
Do that. We can do
yes,
that
we
with
can.
No problem. With no problem. Yes, I mean that's the only way we're gonna get any change around here. But we're so splintered and shattered And each person has their own, you know, vice going on where we can't come together. And I don't believe that.
I believe
that we can come together. It's just going to take something. It might take a George Zimmerman to walk, you know. And the reason why I brought up the Voting Rights Act, because nobody's talking about it. That was huge, man. You know, and nobody's talking about it. And the justices have said that, oh, we don't need this anymore because there is no racism. Well, I remember when Obama got elected. I remember his face on the monkey body. I remember all of the things they were saying. I remember them talking about he's shucking and dying, and he's a food stamp president. All of those are the racial things, man.
Yes, they are.
For them to just come out and tell us right in our face, we don't need the Voting Rights Act because racism is not prevalent anymore. It's just a smack in the face to Martin Luther King. This trial is a smack in the face. It's hard to watch.
It is. But we have to watch it, and that's just the thing. That's the whole thing with us. What you just said and what Sherry has been advocating and what Mineta is saying as well is this, okay? Yes, it's a whole millions of people on Facebook. Businesses are on Facebook spying on your life to determine if you can be a candidate just to be seen or just to be hired, which is another segment I had because I don't believe that that's correct. I feel that if you go to work, you'll know how to act at work, and when you come home and you had a long day at their company, you should be able to kick back and do whatever the heck you'd like to do with your friends and family.
Everyone.
Okay?
Personal business is your personal business.
Right. I believe that. Now, there's a little bit of a catch edge to that because depending on what type of job you're applying for, Facebook might be the very thing that could help save somebody from being a psycho who kills people to having a job that can't require a firearm. So, yes, but to a point, the problem is that these employers are not looking at how to use Facebook. That's the problem. Now, Terrence, you're kind of new to me, but the people that you are, you know, affiliated with out in Flint, they know me. I'm a diehard Knicks fan. And I pop trash like you would not believe in sports. But I know that as deep as we get in sports, it's all in fun. And when the playoffs are over, we all go back to our regularly scheduled lives. The players don't know who the hell you are, even with a season ticket. Okay? You could be sitting at their courtside game every game they go to, and they don't know who you are. So you know what? When the playoffs are over, the fun is over. Let's move on to the next sport. That's what we do. But there are people who are in their 50s, that are being extremely stupid as if these players are either paying their bills or satisfying them in some other way, okay? And then they start deleting personal friendships or cursing out people. So this is the point. Everything has to have a balance. Sherry started a very respectable protest page, okay? Made a personal choice that if we don't get somewhere with this, we'll boycott. And the best way to hit these people is not in their heart, it's in their pocket.
It's in their pocket.
Okay, because that's all they know.
They have advertising. If you're not logging on to Facebook, you're not looking at the advertising. Because nowadays, when you go places, they ask you, how do you hear about us? Or where you're walking, website, or this, like, or something like that. So if people's not logging on, they ask those questions because they want to know where to best spend their advertising dollars at. And right now, Facebook is the biggest thing going right now. And if everybody could come together and protest and boycott Facebook, they would start pulling that advertisement because they are talking about, well, he's a white man, he's this. I don't care what color he is. He could be polka dotted. His money is still green.
His money is still green and his blood is still red. And his blood still runs red. And that's what these people don't seem to understand. If we get bombed like we got bombed with the 9/11 attacks, you could be white standing next to a black man. You could hate that you're in a black man's company. But I'll tell you one thing. If that bomb goes up, you and his blood would be all together. Red standing in the same old pool.
Exactly.
old pool.
You know, I shared Sherry's post the other day on my Facebook page, and like maybe 2 minutes after I posted it, someone texted me from Decatur, Georgia. It was just a number that I didn't know, you know, I didn't know the number. And they said, he looks like he's smiling or burping. And then it says, hashtag laugh out loud.
Wow. Well, there we go with the ignorance in surplus. You know, it seems like we can run out of jobs, we can run out of aid, but we can't run out of ignorance in this country that's supposed to be the melting pot giant of the world. So
yeah,
it's a sad thing. And what you were advocating for was absolutely not to stop freedom of speech or to take away any constitutional right. What you were advocating for is to use your speech like a damn human being. Okay, excuse the French, but you need to be acting like you have brains and some sort of civility. And what gets me is that, as I said in the previous segment, would slavery have happened if we knew our own internal power? Because the people who were watching us take us certainly saw it before we did. Well, you know, we were the ones that was nursing their babies in the plantation and harvesting their plants. It was us that learned, taught them how to season their food, how to make, you know, something out of nothing, because that's what we do. That's what we do.
Really?
But the problem is that we're so busy being pissed off to each other that we don't sit there and go, you know something? Stop this. Let's take this to the people outside. Like I tell my children, because I'm a single mom of many kids, okay? And I say, listen, mom has so much to do. I've got to do a 100% job with 25% supplies. And if I've got to fight the world to keep you together, I can't fight you too.
That's right.
Because we're supposed to be together to fight the world to keep ourselves afloat. So if we're going to fight as a people with ourselves, all they're doing is sitting back going, see how stupid they are, look at them. Because that's what they did with the Rodney King riot. Just like you said, Terrence, as soon as we cross out of our own neighborhood, here comes the National Guard.
Right.
And if we would start learning how to clean up our own internal mess, maybe perhaps this economy wouldn't be messed up. Maybe perhaps we would remember that we were a capitalist country. So maybe if you allow your own people to get grants to start flourishing and thriving on their own soil, we wouldn't be so dependent on foreign oil, charging your own people and putting them into hunger and poverty. Perhaps, maybe, you think?
Can I ask one question?
Sure.
Have anybody on this panel ever heard of Nikola Tesla?
Nicholas who, huh?
Nikola Tesla.
He was
an inventor.
His name is very familiar.
Yes, you have to look that name up because it's very key to what's going on here. Because he brought in the, I think it was the 60s, he found a way to have renewable, clean energy free for everybody. And the government silenced him. The government silenced him and took his invention. And they made... Yeah, so it's a thing going on for a reason. We dealing with this gas and this coal for a reason. It's to keep us all underfoot. So
I have a question for all of you. Do you guys know the history behind Microsoft Windows?
No.
No.
Okay,
no,
well,
I
Terrence, I think you'll love this one. It was a black man's idea, okay? It was a black man's idea.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. I do remember that. Yes,
It was a black man's idea. I guess he didn't have the polished up skills to finish out the job and make it work. And Bill Gates took it over. But here's the funny thing. With all the internet predators that this whole entire technology world has created, with all of the safety issues that our children have been subjected to, the creator of this multi-billion-dollar empire doesn't even allow his own daughter to have TV or a computer. Go figure.
All right.
Wow.
Because he knows. Okay. He knows what it is.
Right. He knows his own bugs. And I don't know if any of you have had the horrendous experience of Windows Vista. Has anybody used Vista?
I have.
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, I certainly have, and I can let you know right now that I'm a computer student, that I've got an associate's degree in computer networking, so I can tell you from the inside that it's total trash, okay? I think what they should have did was stopped at Windows XP and created the Windows 7. They should have left Vista out of the box, but the problem is once you're rich, you can't stop getting rich. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind wants more and more. You're never satisfied, okay? If any of you serve the Lord, that's exactly the reason why Jesus picked money as the catalyst for saying that you can't serve two masters. And the two masters that he compared to was the Lord and money. He didn't say
and
you
know
should
what,
you know, worship.
I always tell young people that very same thing. Do not worship money, man. Money is a means. That's it. I mean, kids need clothes and they got to eat. Bills got to get paid, true enough. But once you start losing your morality for money, then, you know, it's exactly what Jesus said.
It's serving two masters. Yes. And look, it's not money itself, because God created the need for us to have the need for money. The problem is that the people who have control of it, which is why, if you notice, not one person in the entire world can do everything. Because if there was one person that could do everything, what a world we'd live in. That's why he made billions of us with our own unique talents, and everybody needs each other to make the one
that's
big
true.
Work. Okay? So the whole point is, I have another panelist coming in. Guys, hang on with me, please.
Okay.
Welcome to the On the Edge Show. Caller, you're on the air.
Good evening.
Oh, hello,
and bless
Mr.
all that are on, and bless all the members of the panel.
All right.
Thank you.
Bless you, too.
All right.
This is Deacon Zeddy Williams from Toledo, Ohio. He's a big activist out there. He's a Christian as well. He advocates for young men, for youth, for people in the community, everything. Okay, Mr. Williams, have you been listening in?
Yes, I have.
All right. My angle today on this trial is we're trying to prevent what I call society suicide. Now, one of the panelists, Ms. Sherry Adams, say hi, Sherry.
Hello.
Sherry.
Hello.
Okay. Sherry Adams is the creator of the boycott page for that controversial, disrespectful page that we were speaking about earlier.
That's wonderful.
You know, the one that was disrespecting. And she and I and Minetta, who's the other panelist, and of course you remember Terrence from Friday, all of us are trying to, actually it was Thursday, sorry dear, we are trying to let the young people who are listening in know that as angry as we sound and as upset as we are with what everybody can see, whether they were Stevie Wonder or Ray Charles, okay, we can see that it's a mess. Now, how do we do something about it without us becoming what they already think is savagery? So your thoughts,
hey, Katie, can I interject for one minute real quick?
All right, go ahead.
About the money we was talking about. I often say this to the young folks, and I want all the young folks to listen to this. Martin Luther King Jr. had a degree from Morehouse, right?
Right.
Now, it wasn't his degree that made him a famous man, right?
Right.
Yes.
It wasn't the degree. That. It wasn't the job he held. It wasn't it being a pastor. It was being a man of God, a great man. That's what made him powerful and famous.
Mm-hmm.
Look, it's all kinds of power out there. It's bad power, and it's good power, and it's God power. So what kind
Absolutely.
Of power are you trying to take? What kind of power are you trying to take in this world? Because it goes a long way to your moral makeup. So we have to get it together and stop letting money rule our decisions and our lives.
Well spoken, Terrence. Very, very well spoken. Thank you very much for that input. Deacon, the mic's back to you.
Okay. Well, first of all, there's a word in the Bible that says we must show ourselves to be approved by God. we are all supposed to be cut from the same cloth. You know, we all have the same Father. He is our Creator. And for some reason, we as America supposed to be the most powerful country out here at the present time. Right now we're looking very weak. Now here we are, big USA, can't even get along with races, with each race in this country, and that's a sad situation. We've come a long way as far as race relations, but it seems like right now we're taking a few steps back, at least 20 to 25 years, and that's a sad situation.
Yeah.
And our people need to start opening up their eyes, man. Let's stop being crabs in a bucket. You know, if we're gonna prosper like the word says we are supposed to, we have to start loving on one another. You know, that's the main thing. Love is the most important ingredient in the universe right now. And right now the world is in a very bad need of it, because there's not much of it around that's spreading around too much anymore. Everywhere you turn around, you have violence here, you have violence there. You have over the problems over in the Middle East that's been going on for, what, hundreds of years?
Right.
And these are people that are fighting amongst each other. That's a bloodline that started from way, way back when Jesus was walking the earth. And they have to realize you're fighting against your own flesh and blood. This is your own family. This is your own people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and it's not just here in the United States. This is all over the world, practically. Well, you might as well say it's all over the world. But yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interject. I do want to ask you to please, on Friday, to my other panelists, Deacon Williams was on, and there was a point that he brought up with regards to race relations that hit me so hard, and it's so true. Do you remember, Deacon, when I asked you what do you think the trial will do for the effect on race relations, what it was that you had said with regards to our president? Could you please repeat that if you can remember?
Well, it's an insult to us because we have a black president, and how are we looking to these other countries? We're looking weak because how is he supposed to go over to these other countries and relate to them when he's not respected in his own country?
That's true.
You know, when they're shooting him down here in his own country, and he goes out and he tries to bring other parts of the world and bring us closer together to other parts of the world, and he's not able to do that because for the simple fact they see that he's not even getting respected in his own country. It's an insult, and it's bringing us to our knees.
That was such a good point to bring up. Now, I want to ask every single one of you, and I will go around one at a time, and I'm going to start with you, Sherry, as our host on the situation. The question that I wanted to ask was, if you guys, and I'm sure we all do, remember when Obama first got elected and when history was first made, when he was coming out to be inaugurated, okay? I don't know about any of you, but this is what I was feeling that day. As happy as I was, when that man was walking that mile to come out to the public and accept his, you know, be inaugurated, accept his position, my fear... Okay, I had a huge fear as he was coming out that I was like, Lord, please let him make it away from the microphone. Now, I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying there. My
fear
was,
exactly.
So it wasn't just me. It wasn't just me.
No, it wasn't just you.
Well, we all watched Martin Luther King and Malcolm X get shot down in the streets. We all had that same fear.
I have that same fear right today for
me too.
So do I.
Every time he gets up here
to
talk at the podium, I'm scared. You know, I have this funny feeling going on, and I just pray that he can get off that podium, get away from that podium, and go back home safely, you know, back to the White House because, you know, it's just that's the fear that I have.
Where
does this fear come from? Where does this fear come from?
I believe it's from history. I believe it's from history.
Yeah.
The fear comes from history.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I fear that also. And when him and his family took that walk down the street.
Oh, my gosh,
that was scary. That was really scary.
Yeah.
And I prayed every step he took, I was praying.
Yeah.
And he got back in the car where he had to go safely.
Yes, hurry up.
He was just out in a crowd of, and no telling what could have happened.
Yeah.
Well, when this second election took place, I knew one thing. I don't know why, but I knew he would win it, even though it looked like, up until the last minute, if you guys all remember, it looked like he was going to lose that second election. But I knew for some reason that he wouldn't. At the last minute, he won. Now, the thing that I was feeling at the time was, I don't know. Do all of you remember that Eddie Murphy had a stand up where, you know, he was making fun of, like, if Jesse Jackson ran for president, he was saying, like, you know, Jesse had to get in shape for the election because, you know, he had to learn.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember what Eddie Murphy said? And as much as it was a joke back in the 80s, when Obama came into play, I said, my God, this is, like, probably exactly what these people are thinking. When he said that white people probably went in as a joke, drunk, and voted for him, and the next day he said he won. You remember when he said he won? So they were like, he won't stand still. Do you remember? Okay, that's what I was thinking. You know, like, I've never seen so many African-Americans join together since Dinkins. In New York, we had a black mayor that was the first time African Americans had come out to vote so united. And, you know, nobody in New York City, no blacks had ever voted in such strength and numbers as they did that year. Okay, Deacon Williams, I know you're formerly from Brooklyn, and I don't know if you were out at that time, if you were here at that time, but when David Dinkins was a candidate, black people came out and voted. There were lines around supermarkets, like a concert.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And what got me was that they did the same with Obama. So now here's my deal. We have to start understanding that it's not just what I call event unification. We have to get together and be this unified at all times, because our race is consistently under attack. Consistently under attack. All right. Last week, I went to go look up YouTube to find a song that anybody had made with regards to Trayvon, so that the first day of this special week of covering the trial, you know, I would start the show off with that song. Now, I had one already, so I went to go look and see if there was any other artist that did the same thing. Sure enough, I found Chaka Khan, and she did a tribute song with people like Angela Bassett, Courtney Vance, you know, all these people, whether they were singers or not. So I'm looking down the page where the video was posted, and my God, you know, I'm like, we are in 2013, and does this not sound the comments that were coming from these racist pigs? Oh, my God, she needs to take herself back to the slavery days and get lynched. She needs to do this. And normally, as I was trying to tell my friends when that guy first came out, Sherry, on your page, I was inboxing my friends and going, listen, this guy's a total jackass. You know, excuse the French again, it's a total jackass, so please, you know, don't lower yourself, until he kept going. But when I saw this page and I saw the horrendous things and the venomous garbage coming out of these people's mouths, I said, to think I thought the white sheets were put to rest. That was my comment. Now, I haven't even gone back to see was it replied to, because I'm not interested. But the thing is that this is still going on, Terrence, like you said. And I think Lou Mason, he was another former panelist, he brought up that it may not be the clubs and batons and the water hoses anymore. But, you know, you get it now in everything, from the way that they pick who can come to college to the way that they pick who gets a grant.
Right.
To the way that they decide if you're qualified enough to even have an interview, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We know this. So you know what? It's nothing new. Black people don't have nothing. It's nothing new for us to fight the odds to get something. So we cannot sit back on our butts and go, you know what? It ain't never going to happen anyway. This has been going on for years. Hello? We're still alive. We all have mouths. We have opinions. We're allowed to speak them now. Do something.
Oh, well, Katie. You know what?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Terry.
All
right. Okay, I was just going to say, before Obama got elected for the first term, we all thought that racism was taking a back seat in America. Did we not?
I never thought that. I've always had the impression that racism was still.
I thought maybe it was getting better.
I mean,
yeah,
I kind of felt that, but I never felt.
But you know what it's
as
like?
As a whole.
Okay,
as a whole, we thought. I said, as a whole, we thought race relations were getting better. I knew it. I still see the hidden racism. I still walk by old white ladies and they clutch their purse or they lock their doors. I still see the little hidden racism. You know what I mean? But far as a whole, it wasn't just so prevalent where you could say, hey, racism is still alive and kicking. As soon as Obama got nominated, you saw all these racist judges, these racist cops, and these racist people just spewing out all types of nonsense, and it hasn't got any better. But see, like, I want to go back and touch on one thing about the fear of Obama getting assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
I necessarily didn't have a fear if I'm scared. I just didn't want my kids to witness what I witnessed as a kid. And I had to hear the report of Martin Luther King got shot and Malcolm X got shot. You know, I didn't want my kids to go through that. That was my fear. But, you know, I understand the climate of what's going on. We needed Obama. You know, Obama, he's a very, you know, charismatic guy. He's a very good speaker. You know, we needed that. Unfortunately, his policies haven't.
Jerry? I'm sorry, Terry.
Yes.
We are. 1 second.
Yes.
Sherry,
go ahead.
I know you're going to come in. Let me just say one thing really quick. You're absolutely right, Terrence. We did need him because not only did everything you just mentioned apply to this man, but just like Cat Williams was saying in his joke, this man don't have no baby mama drama. There's no crooked anything that's going to come out the woodworks. And I always tell the racists out there, what are you trying to go after Obama for? Because the real first black president we had was Clinton. Honestly, that man, I don't care what his skin color was, he thought more black than any black president we have. So,
that's
to be honest with you,
really?
That's
really?
Where he should have gone.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, he did. Now,
I think so.
Now, in response, yes, everything that black people needed to have somebody stand up for, he was. And you know what? Let's go a little further. He wasn't even the president. His wife was. Okay,
right.
He just had the faith to it. But let me say this to you, okay? With regards to what you said about did I believe that racism was gone, let me explain this to you. No. In New York City, we had a young man get shot 41 times for pulling out a comb.
I remember
not one cop bothered to follow their own rules, which is preserve life to the utmost. Not one cop asked for this man to show his hands. Not one. They just started spraying bullets because this poor one guy was such a threat against 41 cops. Okay? So, no. And I'm black and Puerto Rican, so I'm going to tell you something. Racism is alive as hell and has been.
Yeah.
The only difference is that you can't walk up to a black kid and backhand him in the mouth and things don't happen. That's the only difference. And this is not me yelling at you guys. I'm yelling at the people that are listening that are probably sitting up there ready to see when, like, they can find me in a park. Okay? But I watched it. Not only that, the discrimination against your financial status. If you were poor, you had to be black. If you were poor, you had to be whatever. Now, my mom was a welfare mother. Okay? I had to go through it myself. I went through a New York City shelter, which, by the way, our very prominent billionaire mayor, who suckered everybody into getting his votes by playing the very sensitive mayor in the middle of the worst thing that could have happened to New York City, when he sat up there and said, look, New York, this attack on our most precious landmark is definitely something that I take to heart, so I'm not even going to take the usual salary. I'm just going to take $1 a year. And we all were like, oh, he's such a sweet mayor, forgetting the fact that he's a billionaire.
Right.
That he has his own business TV show, so he doesn't need the damn mayoral salary. He can generate salaries for 16 mayors.
Right.
Okay? So we all were like, oh, God, 6,000 people died. This guy is so sweet.
That's what we did. We didn't have time to sit there after the endless newscast about the planes flying into those buildings. And by the way, I should have been working there that day. I quit the day before.
Thank God.
Oh, wow.
Thank God.
Wow.
That's a blessing. That is a blessing. So God had me here to open my big mouth and say something about it, I guess.
Right.
But to be honest to God about this whole thing, I never thought racism died. I watched my mother get turned away because she had biracial children that most of us looked a little darker than they like. Now, I'm light-skinned, as y'all all seen from my picture, okay? But I was never white enough for white people, just to let you know. But I love everybody. Because the only time that I will disrespect a person is if disrespect was warranted. And even then, I still try to be better than that. And I try to teach my children, the very many of them that I have, to do the same. But one thing I do agree with our previous panelists is this, okay? By no means do I incite initiating violence. But if somebody is being violent to you, you have to stand your ground. Now,
yes.
This man on trial for taking the life of a skinny, baby-faced 17-year-old boy, saying that his big, fat life was in such danger that he had to get out of his house where he was safe to go and follow this guy because he was in such danger in his own gated community. Okay? For me to hear that he used self-defense as a reason when there are more holes in his story than there is in a sponge. Okay,
well,
when these people heard him.
Go ahead, kid.
No, no, baby, go ahead.
What I don't understand is why they're not pushing the issue of why didn't he identify who he was? For what?
Not even
for
that.
Person,
why didn't he give his own address?
Why did you get out of your car? Why did you
and
get out of your car?
That's
when
the
they
key
were
right
trying not to get out of your car. But when you did get out of your car, the neighborhood watch rules are to identify you who you are and the organization you represent.
That's all we have to do. I had a question. If you're the watch captain of this neighborhood and that was your reason for making the endless 911 calls once a month about a suspicious character, by the way, who's a black person, okay?
Right.
If you had noticed every month, because I was listening to the dates and that's what the prosecutor was trying to bring up, once a month, this man had a series of robberies in the neighborhood recently. So I'm saying, well, there's a couple of problems with that, on my opinion, right? You're the watch captain. Why the hell are so many crimes happening under your watch, since you're watching so much? Number two, explain to me as the watch captain. Number two, explain to me as the watch captain why the hell it was such a big secret of where you live. When they asked you where your address was, you kept saying, the guy's still in the neighborhood. He don't know who the hell's calling 911. He doesn't know. Now, whoever's in that neighborhood didn't know that George Zimmerman lived at this place. So what you did was you brought him to the murder spot, the clubhouse. Then today's testimony, to those of you that were watching from the beginning, okay, if you can remember when they showed the video reenactment of what happened that night, do you remember when he showed when Trayvon just popped out of the blue? How could he not see any individual in that open grassy area?
Yeah.
How could he not see Trayvon?
They came out the bushes.
You know what,
what
Katie?
I said, what bushes? I said, John Bush in that video. I said this earlier,
and it was a kind of joke, but it's really serious. I said that this would have been the prosecutor from Law and Order. We would have knocked this out in 1 hour.
Hello.
Yep.
Because who would have been anything about the racist?
Florida is such a racist state. Florida is the
they
most.
They are racist.
I used to live there. They are so very, very racist. And how they do their events, like say the Daytona 500 will come up. They are allowed, these white people that come down to the races, they are allowed to walk the street with half-gallon bottles of liquor, girls walking around half-naked. I mean, they're laying out on the streets with liquor bottles in their hands. Now, when BCR, the Black College Reunion, comes down there, they close off the bridges to the beachside because you have to go across the bridge to get to the beachside. They close off the main bridges, and you have to go, like, almost 5 miles one way or 5 miles the other way just to get to and from the beach. And when I tell you that they have, like, six
police officers at every entrance of the bridge to make sure you don't cross it. I mean that. And they are very racist. But they let the motorcycle, the bike that comes down there, same thing. And when they in the hotels, they double for bike week and race week and stuff like that, but they triple when it comes to black college reunions.
Mm.
It is ridiculous. Florida is the most racist state, and I say about that prosecutor, he's not doing his job because he should have objected to a whole lot of things today.
A whole lot.
I will give that detective this. He did tell him if Trayvon was being followed, he had the right to defend himself. I will give him that.
Good.
But that prosecutor is like laying back and letting the defense do everything.
Did you notice that he started out a very strong prosecution witness, and I don't know if some look was exchanged off camera or nothing, but suddenly, I didn't see any improprieties with Mr. Zimmerman. Yeah, right. The reason why you questioned him and asked him that, did you expect me to believe, if you heard that question, that, you know, there was a danger to you, but you followed the guy. He asked that question, and then as soon as Mr. West got up and said, well, you know, would you think that, did you find any improprieties in there? Now it's all of a sudden, no, I didn't. Now, this is the one witness that I'm watching that knows he's talking out of his, away from his judgment, away from his years as an experienced police officer because of whatever politics is going on, okay? Whatever politics is going on, he went against it because of that reason. Because I could see it in his face. I could see it in his body movements. He knew exactly what the hell went on that day. And anybody with
him. Yeah, I could see it too. You could tell today.
Yeah, and it's sad. But you know something? If Obama could win two terms, this can have justice served too. Ladies and gentlemen, I do have to go to break. We have definitely. What a wonderful panel tonight. And I'm going to go to break. There's a group out which I commend them for. It is 6 young African-American children. Deacon Williams, you know this song very well. They are not, the oldest one I believe is 19 years old, maybe 20. Okay? And these 6 youth, okay, are out there promoting positivity above the crap. Okay, above the odds, above the barriers, with music, and not just with music, but with Christian music. Now, this group is called Libra. One of them is the brother of our sports co-host. And
what is it called?
Libra, L-I-V, like Victor, R-E.
Okay.
And the name of this song I'm about to play is called I Will Be All Right. And the message is, as long as they have their head in Jesus, they'll be fine. So they were on Love and Hip Hop on June 24th, and this is how far they're going. So please, all of you, please hang on with me. We got about 21 minutes left in the show. Please hang on. Listen to this 4 minutes long, and I'll be back to host all of you again, okay?
Okay.
What do I say?
What do I say?
When the tears just won't stop.
When the tears won't stop.
Seems like I'm climbing a mountain.
Climbing Mount Sorrow.
It feels like the top.
And it feels like the top.
When all I've leaned on.
When all I've leaned on.
Catches me by surprise.
Catches me by surprise.
Tell me, where's the refuge?
Where's the refuge?
Where's the joy?
Where is my paradise? I just lift my hands and say,
sing the rain.
Circumstance.
Ooh,
yeah.
Kiss away my issues.
Now, back with more On The Edge.
Welcome back, everybody. To those of you that's just joining in, we have an amazing panelist of people today. We're speaking with Ms. Sherry Adams, who started a protest page against a very racist and controversial, venomous page that was disrespecting the death of Trayvon Martin, as well as race and other things that really, you know, it goes beyond freedom of speech. I'm going to bring in the rest of our panelists one at a time as we go in. And I want to send my appreciation out to Mr. Terrence Thompson, Deacons Eddie Williams, who all of you that have been my regular listeners know. He has also great input. And Ms. Manetta, I want to welcome her as well. Just one second. Okay, all of you are back on the air, but I want to start with Ms. Sherry. Once again, Sherry, please allow me to say my thanks on the air to the 5,000-some-odd people that are listening, and to let them know that if you are on Facebook, please see Ms. Sherry Adams, and, you know, she can direct you on how to join the movement that she's started. It is absolutely ridiculous what's going on and how silly ignorance can get. So, Sherry, we have about 14 minutes left, and I want to go around the panel and get our final thoughts and suggestions out here. So your final thoughts on everything here.
My final thoughts are...
Sherry?
I think Facebook should honor us in the way that we feel, and take those pages down, not just the ones that I am protesting, but all of the hate pages, because it will incite riot. It will cause mixed feelings. It will cause hurt feelings, and it could get someone hurt. And I'm just asking if you will please, if it violates everything that's humane in you, and Facebook refuses to take these pages down for saying that it doesn't have hate speeches or hate symbols, which they do, then everyone that has looked on these pages can see that it has these things, could just join us, because Facebook was made at one person at a time, and Facebook could be made to do what they should do if we all stand together and we stick together. And George Zimmerman, he's going to get what he has come. I do believe it. And thank you so
very much. Oh, Lord, please join me again. Okay, Terrence, it's off to you now.
Okay, I just wanted to make a final plea to our young listeners. There's no cause for riot. See, what I do is I always expect the worst, just to see if I can handle the outcome. So if we all expect George Zimmerman to get off, and he does get off, we have to turn that energy into some positive feedback. As long as we do that, you know, just like Sherry said, George is going to get here, because God don't like ugly. So he going to get it regardless of whatever the outcome is. He's going to get what he's got coming. We got to know and trust and believe in God in that one. Now, as far as rioting, I understand it's very prevalent in a lot of people's mind. I hear them speaking about, oh, if he get off, then I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. No, what you do is you get your friends, pack a lunch, and you march to the Capitol. That's what that you now you're utilizing your power instead of underutilizing it by rioting. Anybody can go tear up stuff, but do you have the mind to go sit there for 9 hours at the Capitol? Do you have the power to go into the Capitol and actually talk to the Congress? See, that's how we get stuff actually moving. That's all I wanted to say for our young listeners today.
Thank you so much for that one, Terrence. Okay, Minetta, it's off to you.
I just want us to all stand together and honor this boycott. And if, when the 6 comes and Facebook has to remove that page, I just want us to shut them down. That's all I have to say. And I want to thank Sherry for organizing this page, and I thought it was really wonderful. And I'm going to stick by her, and I'm going to try to get all my friends and family members and a lot of people to get involved, because we need to shut them down.
Yes, we do. Thank you. Deacon?
Yes. First of all, I'd like to start off and commend Sister Sherry for this page, and I would like to thank her for that, because this is something that our people needed to express their feelings on this trial that's going on. Yeah, and I really thank you, and I really mean that from my heart. It's just a sad day, not in just for the state of Florida, but us as a whole, as the USA as a whole. But the one thing I would like to say, I would like to say a prayer for our people, for us not to go into this with violent thoughts, you know, because if you look at things the way they are today, they're happening for a reason. All these things of chaos that are going on, if you realize it, things didn't start happening in our schools until they took prayer out of the schools. Things didn't start happening in our courts until they started taking down off the courtroom walls and God We Trust. When we started distancing ourselves from the Creator, all these things started going on. And if you take a daily lesson from the book of instructions before leaving this earth, and those words that I just said, that is your Bible. That was a book left for us to follow instructions, and we've fallen away from that. And we need to get back to the basics, because the leaders that are no longer with us, they strived on that, and that's what kept them going, because of their strong faith in God. And we're getting away from that, and that's a very sad thing. So I would like to say a prayer, if I may.
Sure.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that you pour into us right now, O Lord, the strength, the understanding, and the wisdom of what's going on around us, O Lord. Lord, let us not look into things in a worldly sight. Lord, we need to get back to our spirituality. Lord, we need to get back to loving one another, as your word says, O Lord. Lord, we ask for guidance, O Lord. We ask for justice right now in the courts in the Zimmerman case, O Lord. Lord, we ask that all evil be abolished from us right now. We know there's always going to be some type of evil or wrongdoing in this world, O Lord, but we know you are in control of all things. And you say, knock upon the door, and the door shall be open. Ask, and you shall receive. So I am knocking, and I am asking right now, O Lord, to give us all comfort, O Lord, whether you be a racist, or are you just a loving Christian, or you just a good person at heart, period. Lord, we ask that each and every one be touched in a special way, O Lord. I don't know what things that they might be going through, but I would like, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I would like to ask you right now, O Lord, for justice for the Trayvon Martin trial. I'd like comfort for that family right now, O Lord, and in their time of need. Lord, all these things I ask in your Son Jesus' name, and I'm claiming it done in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Deacon, because that was such a necessary move to make right there. And we are down to our last 5 minutes, so I will definitely want to thank each and every one of you. You are welcome at any point in time. Terrence, you already becoming one of our next regulars, so feel free at any point in time. Do understand And that if anybody you know has heard this tonight and wants to join in, I do not promote any violence. I do not promote any type of degradation to others. You can feel free to speak, but everything must be done respectably here because that's the mission that we have. Also, ladies and gentlemen, we offer free advertising to any mothers, young people, single fathers, anything like that, that wants to start a business and needs help with advertising, we do that for them. Here on our market page on the official website, and we also speak about them every Friday, and anybody you know that wants to get into the music business as well. We offer at least a channel for them to be seen and heard. Okay,
what
so that's one
that?
Of the things. It's the On the Edge Show website, which I will be posting right after this show goes off. Also, anyone that may have wanted to hear this and missed the live broadcast, it archives right after the show goes off, about 5 or 10 minutes after. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks so much for the wonderful insight. Thank you for the positive uplifting. Sherry, I can't say enough thank you. Thank you for the courage. Thank you for the persistence. Thank you for having the voice, for helping me to promote, you know, not nonviolence situations, but using our real power, as Terrence said. The power that lasts is the ones that makes a difference, not the ones that fill the moment. And young people,
right.
we cannot stress enough that everything that feels good for the moment is not always the right way to go. So if you're listening here, do not say the On the Edge Show incited any riots with you. We are telling you 199% times infinity to get out there and use that unification and that anger to be angry in the right channels, the ones that make a difference when the yelling's over.
Right.
Okay?
I would like to thank you for your show, the Katie Barnett Show, the Katie and Friends Show. Well, I'd like to thank you for that because this is a terrific place for people that would not be heard. And you're giving them a voice, and that I think that is a wonderful thing. Thank you.
Thank you so very much, sir. We're all trying really hard here to bring you as much as possible in the positive direction. Okay, everybody, I have to sign off. So thank you. Once again, like I said, please feel free. Sherry, you have my inbox. Minetta, you can just friend request me, and, you know, we can hook up. Terrence, I think we're already connected. Anything you have, please come up with topic ideas, whatever you see in your neighborhood. We're here to talk for you, too. It doesn't matter where I'm based. The problems are universal, okay? And we're here, like we said, you know, one person at a time, Sherry, like you said. You know, it's just you got to start at one to get to a million. So let's just do that.
Right.
Okay, so every single one of you, and Terrence, you continuing to not want your children to see what you came from, that is the absolute most wonderful motivation I could think of for us to make a difference.
Right.
For us to make a difference. So, you know, you continue to do what you do. As angry as we get, because we see a lot of things that happened from when we were growing up, as angry as we are with what we can see with blinders on that's happening, we still have to be a voice for the next generation, and that's just something that we're going to have to fight.
Let's take that anger and turn it into positiveness.
Yes. As cliche and nerdy as it may sound to all of you out there that's yawning as you're listening, you better take heed, because I can tell you one thing, as angry as you are, depending on what color, shade, and status in society you have to the people who are supposed to matter, okay, your actions will determine what happens to you next, okay? Thank you all for coming in. Let me sign off.
All right, thank you, Kate.
Okay, you're welcome, sweetheart. Ladies and gentlemen that are listening in, those of you that's joining us, you can catch the archive show after. As I always say, we get to look around and see what's going on, but what we do is what can make the next step toward change. So until we meet again tomorrow night, which we will more than likely be continuing the trial just under a different topic name, but we will be making reference all week until this trial is over. So until then, everyone, be blessed, be a blessing. Please go out there and make a difference. See you here tomorrow night at 8.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.